Our sense of justice is assaulted when bad things happen to good people. Our instincts say just the opposite should take place. The book of Job was written to help us understand why the righteous suffer in running their races of life. Here we find an answer to the burning sense of unfairness we feel when treated unjustly. Today, we'll probe again the depths of God's purposes. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Today, Dr. Lutzer continues his series, God, Why Me?, as he concludes his message, God, I've Lost Everything, a look at why God's people often suffer the most.
And it's not because you are not following God. It is not because God is trying to even some kind of score. It is sometimes true that those who are righteous suffer the most. One day Jesus was walking in Israel, and they said to him regarding a man who was born blind, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Jesus said, neither, but that the works of God might be made manifest in him. There is a work of God that is taking place in the lives of those of you who are suffering disproportionately. I say that because many of us have not suffered nearly as much as you are suffering. Our day may be coming. Suffering, when you look at it, is haphazard. You can't make sense out of the pattern. Godly people sometimes are the most sorely tested. Job was suffering not because he was unrighteous, as a matter of fact, but because he was righteous. And that's why he attracted the attention of God and the devil in the dialogues that we are now privy to. So first of all, godly people often are most sorely tested. Secondly, I want you to notice that good and adversity come from the same hand. They come from the same hand. Chapter 2, and what is it here? Verse 10. Job says to his wife, "Shall we indeed accept good from God and not adversity?" Why is it that we would only accept one and not the other and recognize that both come from God? One day when we came home from vacation, I was speaking to my family and I said, you know, God was so good to us. We drove so many thousands of miles. We had no flat tires, no car trouble, no accidents. And just as the words came out of my mouth, it dawned on me, let's suppose we had had an accident or a flat tire or some tragedy, would that now have meant that God wasn't good? If you have that theory that God has to always be giving you good things, and I put good here in quotes, in order for him to be good, then the time will come when you will believe that God is evil. Job said, we accept good from his hand. We must also recognize that there is adversity that comes from his hand, and both of them come from a good God. They come from a hand with nail prints. And as Christians, we do not superficially evaluate what is good or evil, because we know that God has a plan that is much bigger than we are able to see, and sometimes that which is adversity becomes a blessing. Some of you have heard me tell this story before of that Chinese man, but I have to tell it here because I think he had a point. You remember the Chinese man who had only a son and a horse, and one day they left the barn door open, and the horse ran away and was gone. And because he was their livelihood, some of the man's friends gathered together and they said, "We want to comfort you regarding the adversity that has come to you." And the man said, "Well, how do you know that this is adversity?" A day later, that horse returned and brought 11 stray horses with him. And so all of his friends gathered together and they said, "We want to rejoice with you regarding the good that has come to you." And he said, "Well, how do you know that this is good?" Next day, his boy was trying to break one of these new horses and was thrown off and broke his leg. And everybody gathered together and they said, "We want to comfort you regarding the adversity that has come to you." And he said, "Well, how do you know that this is adversity?" And it so happened that the next day soldiers were coming through the land and they were looking for young men to go to battle, and his son was exempt because he had a broken leg. So everybody gathered together and they said, we want to comfort you regarding the good that has come to you. And he said, how do you know that that is good? Listen to me very, very carefully. Christians do not judge goodness and adversity with a shallow understanding of God's intentions. If you were to judge it that way, you'd look at Jesus Christ who died on the cross and you see all of the evil that was unleashed against him. And you see the hatred and the animosity, and you see his death, and you and I would call it adversity. In fact, the Bible says that evil men crucified him. That is adversity. And yet, what is it that you and I sing? In the cross of Christ, I glory. God forbid that I should glory except in the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me and I unto the world. Why? Because that which was so filled with evil became a stream of blessing to bless the world and to redeem us. And that's why we can say today that we can accept goodness from the hand of God, and we can also accept adversity without implicating God and saying that on one day he's good and on the other day he is evil. There's a beautiful story in the Old Testament of how Joseph, when he was revealing himself to his brothers, just prior to that, the brothers came. And he did not want them to know, if you recall the story, that he was their brother. The Bible says that Joseph handled them roughly. And they were fearful. But because they were his brothers, they had no idea what was going on inside of Joseph. And the Bible says that eventually Joseph closed the door and went into a room by himself and wept. And then went back and treated them roughly again. Some of you today feel as if you are being roughly treated by God. He did not prevent you from making choices that have led to a great deal of grief and to a great deal of hurt and pain. If only you could see the other side of that loving hand. If you only you could see him who is touched by the feeling of our infirmities, who was in all points tempted like as we are. If only we could see the tender hand of the Savior who bleeds for us. How different it would be. But as believers, we accept adversity from the hand of God, and we also accept good and believe that God has the right to give us both. Finally, when we struggle, we can either bless God or we can curse him. We can either bless or curse. Now, I want you to know that I deliberately, in reading the first part of chapter 3, skipped over a verse. And some of you may have seen that and said, you know, the pastor doesn't want to deal with that part of the text. No, that was deliberate. You'll notice it says, afterward, Job opened his mouth and cursed the day of his birth. Do you think here that Satan was right? Do you think that Job fell into the devil's trap? And he cursed God just like Satan said Job would do once his health and children were taken from him? No, I do not believe that. You'll notice that Job did not curse God. He did not curse God. He did curse the day of his birth. He did go through all of that depression and all of that questioning. That is true. But I want you to know that I read nothing in chapter 3 that would make me believe that Job was angry and cursing God. Questioning, yes. Have we not all done it? Is there a person here who has not asked the question why? Most assuredly, there probably is not, because all of us have tried to pry into God's private diary and to say, tell me what's going on and make some sense out of this. But Job does not curse God. At this point, he retains his integrity and still is a worshiper, even though he is now a confused, depressed worshiper. We can either bless or we can curse. Some of you perhaps have cursed. I want you to know that even if that is true, God can handle it. God can handle it. But don't do that. Don't curse God. Tell them what's on your mind. Share all of the concerns of your heart, but do not curse him, because he is worthy of respect even while you share your depression with him. A few years ago, I told you a story that I'd like to tell again of a woman who was interviewed in a television program who told this story. She said, "I grew up an atheist. I never was in church. I never believed in God. In fact," she said, "I was angry. If there was a God, I was angry with him." And then she said, "My daughter was in a car accident that was so serious, it appeared as if my daughter might be in a coma for months, if not years." And she said, "In order to handle it, I went to the bar and I got a few drinks and I began to drive the car, and it was raining outside. And," she said, "I pulled off on the side of the road, and there in the car, I cursed God for a half an hour." And she said, "I was really able to curse in those days. And after cursing him," she was silent. And she said, "It was as if she heard a voice that said, 'This is the first time you've talked to me, and I do love you.'" And as a result of that, she began to investigate the New Testament, came to saving faith in Jesus Christ. Some of you may be bitter at God. If you are, I understand that. God understands it. But I want you to know that rather than being bitter and cursing, God wants us to be worshiping and blessing. "The Lord gave, the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." God is going to be with Job as he walks through this trial. God is with us as we walk through our trials. And at the end of the day, we're going to begin to see the hint of God's purposes. But for now, the sky is dark. The purposes of God are mysterious. And all that Job can do is wonder what possible sense he can make out of so much pain and heartache. But before I close, I want to remind you of something. Those of you who haven't talked to God for a while because you're angry, talk to him. Talk to him, because he does love you.
Well, this is Pastor Lutzer, and I'm so glad that you have joined us for this series of messages on the book of Job. And as we think about Job's trial, I speak to those of you who are angry with God. Talk to him. You know, when I read the Psalms, I discover that David often was very, very upset. He was not at peace at all as to what God was doing in the world. But usually when he poured out his heart before God, the psalm ends on a note of praise as God pours grace into his soul. God will do that for you as well. And meanwhile, I hope that you join us next time on Running to Win as we continue this series on the book of Job.
Thank you, Dr. Lutzer. Erwin Lutzer has now concluded God, I've Lost Everything, another message in his series, God, Why Me? The Story of Job. With friends like you, who needs enemies? That's Job's question on tomorrow's Running to Win. Don't miss it. Running to Win comes to you from the Moody Church in Chicago. This 8-part series can be yours on CD as our thank you when you give a gift of any amount to support Running to Win. Just call us at 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Ask about God, Why Me? Online, go to offerrtw.com. That's offerrtw, all one word, .com. Or write to Running to Win at Box 11174, Chicago, Illinois, 60611. This is Dave McAllister. Join us for tomorrow's edition of Running to Win.